this is Space Kate, and I am here in Cologne in Germany for, well, a couple of things really. It's Space Day here at DLR, which is the German Aerospace Center. And I'm here especially for a social space event, which is ESA and DLR hosting us and giving us lots of interesting people to talk to. And one of them is standing right here with me. It's Jens Dansklocker. Have I pronounced this correctly?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, this is exciting. And you were giving us a talk earlier about the International Charter relating to space and major disasters. I probably got that wrong, so tell us what it is, because you're the expert.
Yeah, the International Charter Space and Major Disasters, that was correct. And that's a group of space agencies, basically, who have agreed that they provide their data when there is a major disaster somewhere on the globe. They provide their data free of cost to the users, obviously. And this is a service, you can say, that can be activated when there is something big going on.
So when we're talking about data, we're talking about like satellite imagery or what?
Yes, it's data from Earth observing satellites of these charter members. So there are 15 agencies that are member to the International Charter right now, and we all have Earth observing satellites. And when there is a disaster, we try to image as quickly as possible the areas that are affected.
Now, how does that work? Because there's a disaster somewhere, so like the tsunami, for example, in Japan, I guess maybe an example. But satellites have very specific orbits, so you can't just say, excuse me, satellite, can you just pop over here and take a picture? So how does that work?
That's true, that's not possible. They stay in their orbits, obviously. But the more satellites we have in this virtual constellation of the International Charter, the more likely there will be one who can make an image very quickly. So we work with redundant orders, actually. All the satellites which make, or the data of which makes sense for a certain disaster type, are asked to take images, and then there will always be one who is very near to the area and can provide an image very quickly, and the others come somewhat later.
So can you talk us through the sort of time scale that this might take place in? If there was a disaster, you know, what happens? Who calls who, and how do you get the information to the right people?
Yeah, when there is a huge disaster, take the tsunami disaster in Japan in 2011. The first thing that happens is that the charter receives a call from a user, and it's kind of a formalized call. We need some information, like the area of interest and so on.
And this has to be an authorized user. I couldn't just ring you up and say, I think my garden's not growing very well, can you check it out for me?
Yeah, that's not possible. We would be overwhelmed with requests. So it's authorized users or UN users that can call us. And then we obviously have a 24/7 service, so we have offices that are always available, and a certain phone number and fax and so on. And within hours, then we are able to tell our satellites what to do next. And then there is a time window that when you wait for the data coming in from the satellites, the fresh satellite data. At that time, we also look into the archives of the agencies, whether there is pre-disaster data, which is good for comparisons. And we are looking for a project manager, preferably from the region which is affected, who brings together the data and produces some helpful information to the user. So that project manager has a very crucial role. It's someone else for each of these activations, and he links then the agencies and their data to the user or the rescue teams that really want something like a map that they can work with.
And so the data that they get is stuff that they can, you know, they literally work with at the time. It's not just saying, here's a nice picture of how it used to look and this is what it looks like now. It actually can be used while the disaster is ongoing.
Yes. It's the products that are being produced during an activation, they look quite differently, but ideally this project manager will also have available some map data, topographic data like roads and so on, and maybe even schools where people could meet that have left there, that are homeless and so. And then you can overlay this information, you know, the information that you already had, and the new satellite data showing, for example, the flooded areas and the areas which are still as they were before, and the roads which have maybe covered so you cannot use them anymore. It's extremely helpful in remote areas where, for example, mountain valleys are just not accessible anymore, but only by helicopter and so on. And the disaster management authorities, they first have to learn where are these areas which are most affected and where are the people that need help.
Now, if it is a really big sort of, you know, major scale international disaster, perhaps if you're in the country affected, you actually may be affected. So can another country call on these services on your behalf?
Yes, that's... Well, first of all, when there is an authorized user in a country, then it should be this user calling us and not anyone else.
But what if they are in the middle of the area that's been hit?
Oh, yeah. Normally it's still possible that they call us, but... But yeah, it's also possible that the user calls the charter on behalf of another user in another country, or that the UN, the United Nations, call the charter for help. It's also possible.
Now, we know that this is open to the people, well, the countries that have got space agencies that have signed up to the charter. Not all of the world has their own kind of space industry, and in fact, some of the places that could probably really do with this information may not have their own facilities to call on. Are they allowed to benefit from this?
Oh yes, the objective of the charter is to help after disasters worldwide, not only in their own countries, obviously. But you're touching an important point. There are authorized users of the charter, and not all the countries have authorized users yet. But there is an initiative called Universal Access, and this allows really the emergency management authorities from all the countries to come to us and become an authorized user. There are only very few conditions to be met, like you have to be able to request such an activation in English, and you have to show that you are in the country, you are the authority or the agency or so, that is really the one who would take action after such a disaster. If we would allow just anybody to call the charter, I'm afraid the phone wouldn't stop ringing, and you never know, then maybe the really important and crucial request would not come through or something like this.
Mm-hmm. And just roughly, how many of these requests would you get at the moment?
Yeah, this year we had 25 so far, I believe, and on average of the last years it was about 40 per year. But once it was 32 only, once it was 51 even, so we have a lot of work.
Well, I'll keep you busy. And if people want to know more, or in fact they're listening from one of those countries that doesn't have an authorised user yet, where can they find more information?
Yes, we have a website, obviously, and there you will find all the information, especially on Universal Access. It's www.disasterscharter.org.
Perfect.
And there you will find it.
And I believe you're on Twitter as well.
Yes, there is a Twitter account, Disasters Chart, I think it's called.
I think that's right. Anyway, thank you ever so much for coming and sharing your information. And yeah, I'll be sure to have a look at the website. Thank you.
Thank you very much.